You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Londoner George Orwell envisioned a dystopian future in which an unseen authority, Big Brother, monitored a person's every move and listened to his every conversation. There are currently 4.2 million closed-circuit cameras, or surveillance cameras, in London, England. These cameras can indeed remotely monitor a person's every move and listen to his conversations. Are the streets of any city safer, more orderly, or more civil with Big Brother watching? The Vancouver Public Space Network has a draft report on surveillance that it hopes to present to the City of Vancouver and a camera mapping and inventory project it wants you to participate in. And Josh Patterson is part of this project and he joins me in the studio today. Welcome, Josh.
Hi.
Maybe we could get an overview first, just technical thing. How does a network of surveillance cameras work?
Well, what's good to understand is there's actually a few different kinds of surveillance technology available. There's the old school kind, which is kind of what we know as CCTV or closed circuit television, where the images are recorded directly to tape, and it's just as you'd imagine. You have to then watch it, play it back on some kind of viewer, and they're not networked in any way. The newer surveillance cameras record digital images, so there's no real limit on the amount of data you can keep because you can store it very easily, and they are indeed networked. In some cases, they're much more like a public webcam because they can actually follow people from place to place throughout a city. And with the more sophisticated technology, you know, they can even start to recognize faces and start to recognize the way people are walking. I mean, that's something a little bit in the future. And these would be networked together, and usually there's some kind of control center, whether it's run by the police or sometimes it's contracted out. And for the Olympics here in Vancouver, they have actually, or they're in the process of building a control center. They may have completed it, but there will be a control center for the cameras that are being used.
Now, they've been up in London for some time. Has there been any research to indicate one way or another whether it has improved public safety?
There's actually been a pile of research done in the United Kingdom. And for your listeners, the United Kingdom is, in the Western world anyways, is the most watched, the most monitored society around. There are millions and millions of cameras on the streets there. And there have been lots of studies done. And this year, the House of Lords, which is equivalent to our Senate here in Canada, did a big report. And they studied the results of lots of other academic reports. There were something like 22 reports. And the conclusion across those reports is that surveillance cameras do not have any real impact. They have little or no impact on crime in downtown centers and in public transit. And they also don't have much of an impact on people's sense of security. There was a study done in Scotland where people in Glasgow had the same fear of crime both before and after the introduction of mass surveillance in the city. And that's been documented in a number of places in the United Kingdom. So the conclusion is, from all these studies, is that in city centers, they don't work. The one place that they have been found to work, I feel obliged to point out, is in parking lots. They do have some effect in parking lots in terms of reducing the amount of crime.
Now, I know we're going to get to the mapping project, but I'm just wondering, before you started that, do you have any sense of how prevalent these cameras are already in Vancouver?
We don't have a good sense of that right now. There's a huge gap of information. Now, when we're talking about cameras in Vancouver, the cameras that we're focusing on right now, because there aren't any real police surveillance cameras, are private surveillance cameras. So these are the cameras that you would have in front of businesses, in front of hotels, in front of banks, those kinds of places. We don't have any real sense throughout most of the city of how many cameras there are. We have done studies in Mount Pleasant and in Granville Street, and we found in the entertainment district in Granville Street, from Robson Street, getting down towards the bridge, which is a space of about, I don't know, 5 or 6 blocks for people not in Vancouver, the coverage of surveillance cameras there was an almost blanket. There was almost nowhere on that entire street that wasn't being recorded by some kind of surveillance camera from a business.
And the Olympic plans, are those clear as to how extensive the intention is to establish cameras?
No, we actually have very little information as to the placement, the intensity of surveillance. We've been told that the surveillance cameras will be mobile, so it could actually move and fluctuate even during the space of the games. We're quite worried that whatever surveillance they do put up, though, will remain in the city afterwards. In Athens, they were left with quite a legacy of surveillance after the 2004 Olympics, and that's something that we're really concerned about here.
And you mentioned a networking, a place where the monitoring goes on. Is that look like it's transitory, or it's actually a permanent?
The language that was used in the report at the city where they were approving funding for it or making a motion in council was a permanent control center. This was when they were still, as far as I understand, calling the cameras temporary. So we had some concerns as to why it was being called the permanent control center. So there is a permanent control center, and I think it's going to be in the eastern part of the city.
Now let's get down to the project you have. You want to map this. Explain to me what process you go through. What does mapping mean?
Well, we're going to be having a pile of volunteers come down to Victory Square on the 23rd of August. And what we're going to be doing is going out in groups or pairs. And each group or pair will be assigned to a particular block or set of blocks. And the idea is just to walk along the sidewalk and look around, look up and look down very carefully, walk slowly, and see where the cameras are that are pointing into public space. So we're not going to be counting the cameras inside a bank that are looking at the teller's counter, or those kinds of things. We're just going to be looking at the cameras that are in public space. And we're going to be trying to keep track as we go along on paper of what kinds of cameras, how sophisticated they are, where they're pointing, and that kind of thing. If we can, we're going to collect some GPS data, so it'll make it easier to map later. We're going to pull all that data together. And then we have a team of really great cartographers who are going to use computers to map all of this. And we'll be producing maps that are available to the public so that they can see how intense the surveillance is. And to start, we're going to be focusing on the downtown east side and the central business district. It's actually a bit ambitious. It will depend on how many volunteers we get out.
So you're doing this on the day of August 23rd?
That's right, the Sunday.
Is there any intention or hope that you would be able to, even on a sampling basis, go back to the areas as we proceed further towards the Olympics and get a picture of how that's changing?
Yes, actually. We think that would be really useful. And I should say we're working with the surveillance group at Simon Fraser University downtown, Professor Richard Smith's class. And either they or we, I suspect, over the months leading up to the Olympics, will do at least a sampling to see the extent to which surveillance increases. Otherwise, it will be very hard to get a picture of that for the public.
And would the test of whether these are permanent or temporary, would you hope to be able to, at the end of the Olympics, go back over this area and see what increase there has been over the
sure.
present August 23rd
result? I think it would be useful to do over time to take some periodic spot checks and see how many of them are sticking around. Now, I haven't actually seen what kind of cameras they will be using for the games. If they are very temporary looking on kind of tripods that are somehow lashed to a utility pole or something, it'll be pretty clear which ones are temporary and which aren't. And it should be fairly easy, we hope, to monitor.
Now, what's the underlying purpose of your mapping?
The goal that we have for the mapping is really educational. We'd like to raise the awareness of people here in the city about the extent to which there is already video surveillance. There's been debates going back a few years now, mostly coming out of the police department, sometimes from other quarters, proposals to have more surveillance in the city. And all of these debates take place in a real vacuum because we have, first of all, no idea what kind of surveillance already exists. So we don't know assuming they were needed, do we even need any more of them? But then the question, are they needed, is actually the real question. We're not sure that the case has been made for whether or not they're needed or effective. But we'd like people to have the information before them when they make a decision. Hopefully, the community will be consulted with by government, at least after the Olympics, to see the extent to which cameras ought to be in the city. Without this information, we won't be able to have that debate in any informed way.
So it is an educational information. This is the fact basis of what exists. And then if we're going to have a public discussion, we have that point of reference rather than some charade of, oh, they're not really many, or just some abstract description of what the surveillance is at the moment.
That's right. We're also hoping to use the map itself. Well, the map is a really good visual tool, so it raises awareness very well. We're hoping to do some kind of art project in the fall as well that features the map, as well as other kind of surveillance-related pieces of art to raise people's consciousness about the issue in general.
And you have some support. You have, let's say, these students up at Simon Fraser University and the cooperation of their professor. Is there some institutional support for this project?
Well, we've been getting a lot of encouragement in the community. Pivot Legal Society has been particularly encouraging, and they are putting the invitation out to their mailing lists. So we're hoping to get a lot of volunteers out. We're getting a reasonable response on Facebook right now as well. But in terms of institutional support, no. It's basically just the Vancouver Public Space Network and its associated people and allied groups. We're kind of a grassroots collective, so we take in quite a lot of people in the city of all different interests.
Looking at the converse of support, have you had any from any police or other organizations, criticism, inquiries, concerns about this project?
No, we haven't heard anything. And we will be letting the police in the city know what we're doing, just so that if they happen to be patrolling and they see us walking around, they'll already know. But we haven't had any questions or concerns, or even from the members of the public, we haven't received any.
Now, you're looking for volunteers?
Yes.
Any specific kind of qualifications for the volunteers?
We're going to be using our eyes, so volunteers will have to, should be sighted people. And we're hoping for people who are sensitive. We are going into the downtown east side, and that's where people live, and people live right on the streets. So we want people who are going to be there in a really sensitive spirit and knowing that they're going into someone's neighborhood and at least for a few moments traipsing through people's lives and try to be as unobtrusive and as friendly as possible.
And what sort of a time commitment are you hoping that people would be available for?
Ideally, people would be able to join us for the day. We're starting at 10 a.m. We're going to do a bit of a training session and then head out. It takes in practice a few hours to properly do, to intensively do a series of blocks. I was told that Granville Street from Robson to the bridge took about 3 hours to properly do. So it could be a chunk of the day. So if people who are coming out have some time available, that would be of great benefit to us.
Okay. And how do they get in touch with you, or do they simply come to Victory Square at 10 a.m.?
They can go to our website, vancouverpublicspace.ca, and there's a link there to register. They can find us on Facebook. And if they want, they can just turn up. But it would be helpful to know in advance that they're coming.
Okay. Thank you very much, Josh.
It's been a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Josh Patterson. He's the coordinator of surveillance and security for the Vancouver Public Space Network. And if you'd like to volunteer for the mapping project, just go to, as Josh said, vancouverpublicspace.ca and sign up.